Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Greg Gearing. Today we're joined by Joel Leftwich, Kansas Farm Bureau's Chief Strategy Officer, to talk about a ballot initiative out in Denver. This is kind of the canary in the coal mine for animal agriculture, Joel. Can you tell us a little bit about what this ballot initiative is seeking to achieve out there?
Thank you for the opportunity to visit with you, Greg, and talk a little bit about this ballot initiative that's in the city and county of Denver. We learned about it about a year ago from our friends in agriculture, and that's it's one of the great things about being involved with the Farm Bureau and being involved with a national agricultural organization is we get to hear and we hear from others about the challenges that they're going through, and then we help each other when we're going through those challenges. This one in particular, I think, is it's not very well known by many in the many in Kansas or in our own networks. So I'm glad to talk about it today. So in Denver, there is an animal liberation group that has got enough signatures on a petition to place on the ballot for voters to decide in November whether or not the county should have any slaughterhouses, is the term that they use on the ballot petition. It says that we should shut down any processing facility, meat processing facilities that are in the county, and we shouldn't allow any more to come in. And what's interesting about this case is there's only one facility in Denver. It processes lamb, and it's been there for 70 years. And this ballot initiative passing, should it pass, would impact not only that facility, but it would really upset the larger food system that we have here in the U.S. And so that's why we're paying attention to it. That's why we're involved and happy to help our friends and neighbors there in Colorado.
You mentioned that the ballot the language on the ballot will include slaughterhouses. That's some very charged language. Essentially kind of leading voters to a conclusion. What's being done to kind of counter that messaging?
Yeah, great point. Like, words matter, don't they? And when you have the power of the pen and you go around and you collect enough signatures to put language on the ballot, that's a powerful position to be in. Yes, the language on the initiative is a prohibition of slaughterhouses, which, you know, for all of us in agriculture, that's not really a term that we use because of what you said. You know, it's kind of has a negative kind of spin on it, but it's true. And so when we're out there talking to the public and educating voters about the impacts of this ballot initiative, we have to use that language, because what you don't want to happen is for someone to go in and vote in November and hear all this great messaging about, yeah, I want to protect a processing plant, but I don't see that language on here. So, oh, here's something about slaughterhouses. I'm going to vote yes for that. So we have to be mindful that we use the same language and the same words that the voters are going to see in November, even though it kind of goes against what we've done in agriculture for a while and how we talk about processing livestock. So we're being upfront and we're being transparent with voters, and the coalition that's behind this is run by a great group of folks out in Denver who understand the community, who know the community, who know the voters. They're taking the lead on it, and they're being great about being transparent and talking directly to voters about what they're going to face in November.
What's your role, especially being Kansas Farm Bureau, and people outside the organization might see this as a local issue in Denver? Why are you involved in this? Why are you following this so closely?
Yeah, I'd say for folks who in the food and agriculture community, we know that grow local and sell global, right? And so, you know, there's a couple of reasons why Kansas Farm Bureau is involved, and one of them is that we have many members in the Kansas Farm Bureau who provide product to Superior Farms, which is the processing facility there in Denver. So there's a direct impact on, you know, the opportunity for lamb growers to market their product. You know, Superior Farms has about 20% of the processing capacity in that market, and so we want to make sure that we keep that food system open, We keep that market opportunity open for our members. But larger than that is the opposition, the organizations that are supporting this potential ban aren't just focused on Denver. We know that they want to fight in other communities. They want to fight at the county level. They want to fight at the state level and certainly at the national level. And so we need to come together as the larger agriculture, food and agriculture organizations and industry to work together to beat back these challenges. With that in mind, last year, Kansas Farm Bureau Board of Directors authorized the creation and helped create a 501c4, which is called the U.S. Ag Partnership Fund, which goes out and works to help local and state agriculture and food partners to beat these things just like this. So whether it's a ballot initiative in Denver, there's another one in Sonoma County, California, USAPF is built to help bring additional resources to win these fights across the U.S., and we're involved in that organization.
Sounds like a great organization. What would you say Prop 12 out in California, another kind of quasi or alleged animal health bill helped start that, kick that off?
Absolutely. So Prop 12, when it passed in California, I think, you know, a lot of the larger agriculture community thought, well, this is something we can win in the courts. Even if California voters choose to dictate how livestock are raised across the country, we can win it in the courts. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court did not agree with us completely. So, you know, that really frustrates our members, our board in Kansas, when we see voters outside of the state of Kansas, outside of the jurisdiction where we can influence the outcome of that vote, impacting the way our members operate their businesses. And so Kansas Farm Bureau board, you know, became frustrated with that. Our members became frustrated with that. And rather than just, you know, sit back at the coffee shop and complain about it, we decided to help do something about it. And that's what I appreciate about our Kansas Farm Bureau Board of Directors is they're not afraid to do things. They don't just want to talk about doing things. They actually want to do some stuff. And so with the creation of USAPF provides an additional tool for us to go back and win and fight instances like Prop 12 in the past.
So what could the producing Kansas Farm Bureau member, farmers, ranchers out there do to help assist in this, as some of these opposition groups are kind of playing whack-a-mole and trying to find their way onto ballots wherever they can?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, one, we have to stay educated. So, you know, stay involved, listen to these great podcasts like this one, and stay up to date on kind of the news that's happening in our agriculture communities. You know, for this specifically in Denver, I would encourage folks to go to the website stopthebanprotectjobs.com to learn more about what is being said in Denver, what's being done about it. One interesting thing I'd like to point out, Colorado State University did a economic analysis on what would happen to the if this ban were to pass. And the results could be an $860 million loss to that larger community. $860 million loss to the community if this ban passes and Superior Farms has to shut down. In addition to that larger community impact, there's 160 employees at that facility. What's unique about Superior Farms there in Denver, it's an employee-owned facility. So the folks who are on the floor are owners of the company. Their retirement, their life's work is connected to the success of that facility. And when you shut it down, you impact not just those workers, you impact their families, you impact the communities, you impact the food banks who receive lamb from that facility. So there's, you know, that's why that, I encourage folks to go to the website, read that Colorado State study that says, hey, look, this is broader than just shutting down slaughterhouses in one county in Colorado. This has a much larger impact and effect. And for us in the agriculture and food communities, like, we have to recognize that yeah, we know that we're all connected. The food supply is a very integrated and connected thing. But that also means we have to fight what may seem like a local issue. We have to fight them together.
Anything else that you'd like to add before we go here today?
Thank you again for the opportunity. Again, for folks who are interested, stoptheban.protectjobs.com is the website there in Denver. USAPF.org is our larger organization's website. We appreciate any support that folks give. But most of all, just please educate yourselves about what's happening at the local level. Our political fights are no longer just in Washington, D.C. and state capitals. They're happening at the county level. And so please go out there and take a look at those websites. And thank you for the opportunity today.
Thanks for coming on today, Joel.
My pleasure.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, please give it a like and share with others. I'm Greg Deering, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.